God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path. Shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. Comes from above, God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake.
Bibles, please, and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That sound a little hot? Yeah. There's a story told of the eagle who, in taking care of its young at a certain age, hovers over the nest, creating such a wind that the eaglets, one by one, are blown out of the nest and forced to try to fly. Now, flying for an eaglet, for an eagle, is a very beneficial thing. It's a wonderful thing. God made them to do that. But it also, at that young age, for the first time, is a very fearful and stressful event. And if they fail to fly, the adult eagle is ready to swoop below the eaglet, catching it on its wing and flying it to safety. That's the true story of the eagle. It's even mentioned in Deuteronomy 32, verses 10 through 12. And it speaks to us about when God places any burden upon you. He places his arms beneath you, ready to catch and deliver you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7 says this, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, for a short time, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, heaviness, difficulty, situations that are stressful, manifold temptations, many different kind of trials and troubles that come our way. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, just before we prayed at the offering time, there are many of you that are facing some difficulties and stressful times right now. Some in the loss of a loved one, some as the Ross family with Becky about to pass. Some of you have had some very tough surgeries in which you're recovering from. Some of you are facing surgeries that are coming up. Some of it has been in relationships, and some of you have shared with me your prayers in those relationships and desires. Some have been under stress because of finances. Some have had situations at work where something has happened and it's put a lot of pressure upon you. There are many different areas in which we can face trials and troubles and stresses within our lives. And whether that is spiritual testings or spiritual trials, or whether it is in the physical realm, whatever area that it is in, I want you to know today that God, like the eagle, is under you, ready to help, to lift, to protect, and to meet your needs, to deliver you. God is our comforter, as we shall see. Sometimes God designs these trials to come in our life himself, for the trying of our faith, what it works within us. Sometimes he permits Satan to bring it on, as he did with Job. Yet he limits Satan of what he can do. But in either case, I want to assure you that Romans 8:28 is still in the book. Romans 8:28, if you don't remember, says what? All things, how many things? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so God takes all things that he can in our lives there as he is working with us and cause them to bring about his purpose within us, which is for our good and for his glory. So we know and we can be assured of that. God has a purpose and he wants to complete that purpose with you. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it speaks of the believer's trials, as we'll see. It also speaks of God's comfort and his encouragement, and it speaks of our preparation to comfort others, to come alongside and encourage them as well. It conveys an obvious conclusion that not all trials are punishment. You see, sometimes trials in our life can be chastisement, as God says in Scripture. But not all trials are punishment for what we have done, but are preparation for what we are yet to do. You get that now? Not all trials are punishment for what we have done, but they are preparation for what we are yet to do. God is not through with you yet. He is still working on you to bring you into the image of His His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants to use you still in ministering for him and to others. And so we need to be open to that. This morning, I want us to see God as our comforter, his purpose in the trials that he allows and sometimes designs, and his promises through them. Father, I pray that as we look into your word, as we see the truths in which we have just outlined, that we would, Lord, understand that you love us so much that you are and have promised to be right there with us alongside in every situation that we face, that you will help us through. You will be there to encourage us, to defend us. You will be there, Lord, to instruct us and lead us. And I pray that we would never lose sight of that and that we would trust you who has all wisdom, all knowledge, all power. And Father, as we trust you, that you can bring these things about, not only for your glory, but for our good as well. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sometimes it's hard to look at the circumstances in which we are in and the problems that we face and say, Lord, how can this possibly ever be for my good? And yet, it's not up to us always to understand. In fact, that God says that we're to trust Him and lean not unto our own understanding. And so I want us to be encouraged with that this morning. I divided this up here, and the first couple of verses I want to look at is verse 3 and 4, the first part of verse 4 there, where it says there, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all," what's the word? "The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation," or our trials, our difficulties, etc., "that we may," etc., etc., as you go down through, we'll look at this in His purposes as well. This is one of my favorite passages. You know why? Because it has one of my favorite Greek words in it. And if you know me long enough, you know that word is paraklesis. The paraklesis, the Holy Spirit, is used of Him. But the word paraklesis means to come alongside, to help, to comfort, to encourage, to guide, to benefit overall. And that's exactly what we see with our God. It is used of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 John 2 and verse 1, where it says, "Little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate, a paracletus, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Our advocate, our defense attorney, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's called alongside to help, to defend, etc., with us. It is also spoken of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 and verse 16, where Jesus promised that "I will send unto you another comforter, that He may be with you always." Another of the same kind is that word, comforter, parakletos is the word there, and it is one that is going to come alongside us, the Holy Spirit, and be there for us to not only instruct us, to guide us into all truth, but to comfort, to encourage, to console, etc., to help us, to benefit us in our walk in this world. And then, of course, it's used of God the Father right here in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. So we have these words that are used in this truth that is given to us about our God. And as we read down through the passage here, if you were to read down from verse 3 down through verse 7 there, those five verses, you will find the base word there for paraklesis used 10 times in five verses. That's a great emphasis. Anytime you find something emphasized like that in Scripture, God's trying to make a great statement there, and this statement has to do with the truth that God is our paraklesis. He is our comforter. He is the one that is called to come alongside and will do that to defend, to help, to encourage, to comfort, to console, etc., to benefit us in our life. God is the God of all comfort because He is in control of all things. He is sovereign. We must never think that the trouble that faces us is an accident. As I reminded you there of Romans 8:28, how many things work together for good? God works all of them there. None of them are accidents. All of them are just incidents that God allows or He plans for our lives for each day. There are only three possible outlooks one can have concerning trials that face us in our lives. Some may have this outlook, that man is in control. Therefore, when things are going bad there, I fail to control the outcome properly, and that's why all of these things are happening. My situation is hopeless, would be a response. The second way to think about it, or outlook to have, is that fate is in control. And therefore, I should just give up, because who can control fate? Should we have that, either one of those outlooks? No. The third one is obviously that God is in control. Therefore, I should trust Him, and I can overcome trials with His help. But let me ask you something. Every one of us as believers today would say that third one, God is in control, is the one in which we ought to have the outlook. But have you ever made the statement, "I'm just having a bad day"? fate's in control. We don't think about it that way. But when we're having a bad day, it's just, I'm just one of those days. No, God is in control even of that bad day. He's in control of those bad things. You mean when I got a flat tire on the road, when I was going to that job interview and I was late? Even in that. God is in control. I have to keep reminding myself about this, especially when I'm in a car. It's been said that when God puts His children into the furnace, He keeps His hand on the thermostat and His eye on the thermometer. He's in control. He doesn't allow anything to come into your life that is too much for you to handle with Him. If you trust God and you're looking for Him, you'll see Him alongside of you, ready to comfort, ready to encourage, ready to help, if you're looking. God has said in Hebrews 13, in the end of verse 5 and the beginning of verse 6 there, He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will never leave thee nor forsake. That's a promise. And our conclusion then that we can boldly say with confidence, God is my helper. I don't have anything to worry about. He's called alongside. And He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He will always be there. Vicki was telling me, I was talking to her a little bit, gave her a headlight of a little bit of what I was going to be speaking on this morning. And she said, you know, I've been teaching on Wednesday night with the young children there that she breaks out with. She said, I've been using some object lessons to teach with them. And there's been some animals that we've been using, some dolphins most recently. And there's one dolphin that she was telling me about. And to be honest, I can't tell you the whole object lesson here, but it was the bottlenose dolphin. And the fact is, I understand that when the bottlenose dolphin, y'all know the dolphin, the mammals that breathe, you know, that come up for air. And, when the bottlenose dolphin gets sick, that it sinks to the bottom and will die if not receiving any help. But there's other bottlenose dolphins that will come alongside and put a fin under one side and a fin on the other and will swim to the top and will stay there with them until he gets over the sickness and is healed. That's a great picture of what our God does to us. He's right alongside. And when we're sinking and when we feel like we're sinking, He's right there to help. There's nothing that will be too much for us to handle with God. He is in control of all things. God is our paraclesis. The second thing that we see is God's purpose. And we look at verse 4 there again and down through verse 8. He says, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that, here's a purpose clause that it begins here, so that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now keep that in mind. I'm going to keep on reading through verse 8. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, there's another paraclesis word, also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we, Paul said, whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation, the word is, and salvation. Here it's not talking about spiritual salvation from sin, but the word being deliverance there, or your benefit spiritually, etc., which is effectual. In other words, it brings about an outcome. It is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Paul is saying there, when you see other people that are suffering and God comes alongside of them and comforts them and encourages them and helps them and brings them back up, that's an encouragement to you. It has an outcome in you where you see God faithful there. You believe also and understand He's going to be faithful with you as well. Paul recognized that. And he says, or whether we be comforted, whether we be consoled there by God, it is for your consolation and salvation, your benefit, etc. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant or unaware of our trouble which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Let's stop right there and let's look. And I want us to work backwards here and see, as Paul is speaking about this, he says, I want you to not be unaware. I want you to be aware of what took place in Asia there with him, the trials that God allowed in their lives there, even to the point that they were fearful that they were going to die, be killed. And you can read elsewhere in the epistles there as Paul outlines some of those great horrific things that happened to him that he experienced there on these missionary journeys. And he says there that those things that happened unto him are an encouragement to you that see that those things happen unto him, because you know that you are not alone. You're not going through this, and nobody else understands, nobody else experiences this, but there are other people that have difficulties too. Maybe it's not the exact same color as yours, but it is just as real and just as difficult. And so we must understand that even though we may face difficult things here in this life, we're not facing them alone. Not just that God is there, but others have been through difficulties as well. And others have received the comfort, encouragement that is available to us. We know that God is in control. We know that God is there alongside. We know that He is not forgotten. We know that He will always be there for us. We're not alone, and we're certainly not without hope. There is hope. There is encouragement. And then he gave the purpose there in verse 4. So that God puts us through these trials, and he gives us the encouragement, the comfort. He's there alongside, so that we may be able to comfort them which are in the same trouble. Is that what it says? No. In any trouble. Do you know that you may face a trial in your life, and somebody may be facing another trial in your life, and you don't have to have faced the same thing in order to help them? If you've experienced God's help in your life, then you've experienced the Helper. And you can point them to the Helper in any trial. And that's the key to understand. Don't tie your hands when it comes to helping somebody else. God says there that He has put you through your trials. He's put you through your difficulties. He's been there alongside you to help. Even in times in which we do not see and we do not understand, we can look back, and I know in my life I can look back and see many things when I went through difficulties, and while at the time I could not see what God was going to do, I did not know where God would lead from there, but I can look back in many of those, not all of them, but in many of those, I can see God's hand of what He did and how He used and how He prepared. And some of them were some very difficult things. God's purpose is so that we might learn to be channels of blessing. Channels of blessing to encourage and to comfort others. There are things that Vicki and I have experienced that have many times provided opportunities for us to be an encouragement to others. And that's what God can do and wants to do through you. With the Apostle Paul, there are many troubles, many hardships, that he faced, as I mentioned, and one in particular that is mentioned in the last part of this book here, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, was that thorn in the flesh. And we sometimes read about Paul's thorn in the flesh and how that he asked God on three different occasions to remove it, and God said no. And we think, well, you know, that was a thorn in the flesh, okay, you know. But what was that thorn in the flesh? You know, some believe that it had to do with his eyesight, because he traveled with a physician, Luke, the physician, who wrote for him as he dictated pretty much what God would have us to have in Scripture there. But there were several times that he would take the pen from Luke and say, you see how with my own large writing I write these things, and he would finish up a little bit there, because evidently his eyesight could not see well enough to write in regular size. And so it is believed that it was his eyesight, possibly some kind of disease there, that would take a physician every day dealing with to be able to help him. It was not something that was just, you know, I've got this thing in my knee, you know, it bothers me every time it rains. You know, that's not kind of what it was. It was an ongoing thing. It was a very serious thing. It was a hindering type of a thing that he dealt with every day of his life. And so he had experiences like that. And yet he says to us there in verse 5, he says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us," as these things come into our life, notice he says, "so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." As the trials increase, so does the consolation increase. And it's what God told him in 2 Corinthians 12 there. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee." But I've heard people say before, and I've even thought it myself, when I see somebody going through a great trial, I don't know if I could ever face that the way that they did. You know, that's true until God calls us to face it. And then when he calls us to face it, he's faithful to come alongside and to give us the strength and the grace and the peace that we need during that time. That's our faithful God. Corrie ten Boom, she helped many Jews escape Nazi Holocaust during World War II. She told and wrote this about her as a little girl. She says, "When I was a little girl, I went to my father and said, 'Daddy, I am afraid that I will never be strong enough to be a martyr for Jesus Christ.'" I had to stop right there and think. You know, folks, we live in a world today that we think they're great trials, and our nation is going to hell in a handbag. And there are many things that are going on that makes it difficult for us as believers today in the workforce, etc. But we have nothing like what it was in those days. I cannot imagine today sitting down with a little daughter of ours and explaining the truth that they may have to be a martyr of Jesus Christ. We don't face it. Sorry. But she said, I'm scared I'll never be strong enough to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. Tell me," said Father, "when you take a train trip to Amsterdam, when do I give you the money for the ticket? 3 weeks before?" "No, Daddy, you give me the money for the ticket just before we get on the train." "That's right," said Father. "And so it is with God's strength. Our Father in heaven knows when you will need the strength to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. He will supply all you need just in time." Just in time. We may not be called to be martyrs of Jesus Christ today, but we all will suffer to some degree certain things, difficulties, trials, etc. And God will give you the strength that you need, the grace that you need, the peace that you need just in time. That's His promise. God in control, comes alongside to encourage us that we could learn to be channels of blessing to others. And then finally, I want to share with you very briefly here, verse 9 and 10, there, God's promise. In verse 9, he says, "But we had this, the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead." All of these things, he says, that happened to us, all of these trials that came upon us in verse 8 there, that he said, and where they even despaired of their own life, they were fearful they would die. All of these things happen for a purpose, that we should not trust in ourselves, but we should trust in Him. Leaning on Jesus, that's where it ought to be. Not leaning on our own understanding. Remember there in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." But it starts with trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's where we've got to be leaning. That's where we've got to be looking to our Comforter, the one that's called alongside, who will never leave us nor forsake us, so that we can boldly say that God is our help. That's the one that we should lean on. That's the one that we should trust. It all happened so they could learn to trust, not self, but trust God. And then we see God's faithfulness in verse 10. He says, "Who delivered us," that's in the past, "who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver," that's in the present, "and in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us," that's the future. God is faithful to deliver. He is faithful to do that work. Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." He will be faithful to complete that work in you. That's what He wants to do. So are you experiencing trials and troubles today? I know some of you are. If not, get ready. God's not through with you yet. Class is still in session. Remember what God is to you. He is our Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Remember what God does for you. He controls your trials for your good and for His glory. And remember what God wants to do for you. He wants to make you a channel of blessing, of encouragement, of benefit, consolation to others. That's what God wants to do through you in the trials that you face. So count it all joy when you fall in any of these kind of trials, knowing these things that He's trying to do. And let trials have their perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Every head bowed, please.